welcome back, everybody, to another episode of our Magnum Opus podcast. Today, we're going to take a slight detour for our word of the month, because I have more than one word for you. I have seven. Today, we're going to talk about what are commonly referred to as the seven elements of music. Now, don't be scared if you're like, wait, seven elements? I thought, what? If you've never heard of these before, that's exactly what we're here for. This is why we like to come in and fill in those gaps. The seven elements of music are often referred to as pitch, duration, dynamics, tempo, timbre, which we've talked about earlier, texture, and structure. So, whew, we got a hefty podcast if we want to fit all seven of these in one episode. And we might split it up. Now, we have talked about timbre before. It was our first word of the month back in January, so go check that out if you haven't listened to it. Starting from the top, pitch. Obviously, we know what pitch is. We need to figure out if we're playing C natural or C sharp, C3 or C4, if there are two different octaves involved. Duration is very commonly known just as rhythm, half notes versus whole notes. Dynamics, obviously, that is the volume of sound at which you play at. Tempo is different than duration because while it directly influences rhythm, tempo is the speed at which you play. Timbre is that characteristic quality of a sound. So it's different than pitch and loudness. It is what makes a guitar sound like a guitar and what makes a violin sound like a violin. Texture is something that I think we'll talk a lot about today. Texture refers to the different layers of instrumentation that are playing at the same time. You could have a quartet, for instance, or a full orchestra. And then structure. Structure is another key thing that we don't really talk about too much because a lot of conductors, that's kind of the conductor's job to focus on structure. What structure is the way that the music is organized. Oftentimes, when you play a piece, you might have a melody and then a harmony. And you recognize it. Oh, I've played this melody before. Then later on in the piece, that melody might change. And then at the end of the piece, usually the melody comes back. This is called the structure of a piece. Now, really quick, before everybody out there starts dropping comments on the Magnum Opus website, yes, there are different ways that you can explore this. Some teachers teach 8 different elements of music. Some teachers teach 6. Some people say dynamics, tempo, timbre, structure, all that stuff. Some people include harmony and melody. Some people include tonality. So it's all about what you think is easiest to follow. And to me, these 7, again, that's pitch, duration, dynamics, tempo, timbre, texture, and structure. Those 7, to me, really help outline music. And you can think of it different ways. You can, again, divide them if you like harmony and melody, anything like that. But these are the 7 that we'll focus on today, and it kind of gives us a little bit more of a outline of music. So why don't we start right at the top and tackle pitch. Probably the most familiar of all the definitions is pitch for us. It refers to exactly what you think. What note do I play at what time? And actually, when you're composing something, this is really, it can be kind of difficult because pitch can dictate melody. If you have to find something that is very easily memorable and something you can easily sing along to, you want to pick pitches that are in the middle range and that have like a melodic structure. Right now, I want you to try to picture your favorite pop song or imagine a famous movie soundtrack that you love and try to sing along with it. And if you can sing along with it, that means that it's a catchy melody that you can first off remember, and it's a melody that is placed in a really, really nice singing range for you. So the pitch factor of it is really nice. Pitch is also super important when determining which instrument is going to end up playing. If you want a soprano singer or you want a bassist to play. So all that fun stuff. Moving on to duration. Yep, probably another easier one that we can just recognize right off the name. Duration deals with our rhythm. Do we want a piece with lots of driving 16th notes? Do we want long, ethereal whole notes? Again, try to picture a pop song. See if you can... A lot of pop songs sing actually with the rhythm quarter, eighth, eighth, quarter, eighth, eighth. I kid you not. Look it up. But when you think of duration, really think about what is exciting. If you want to play a piece that has this specific theme to it, like Pirates of the Caribbean, yum, ba-bum, 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 those notes right there, those short, quick durations, really broadcast a sense of excitement. And if you want something that's a little bit slower and maybe a little more ethereal or just maybe sad, we use these longer notes with less motion to them, so we really just kind of sit and listen. Moving on to dynamics. Hopefully, again, everybody knows these. Dynamics, of course, that is the volume at which you play. And so if you are, again, looking for something exciting, you might have a little bit of a punchier dynamic, and you have more accents thrown in there, and you have maybe more dynamic contrast. You had your louds, and then your softs, and then sforzandos, so instant loud accents. And then, again, if you want something a little more peaceful, a little bit more relaxed, you just back it off a little bit, dial the knob down to 2, and then you just kind of sit on these softer notes that are not quite as abrasive. Tempo ties directly into duration. Well, a tempo does theoretically affect everything. All parts of these are directly correlated to another. You adjust one, and pretty much all of them do get adjusted. But tempo and duration go hand in hand. It is the speed at which you play. So you can have a short duration of a note, but a very slow tempo. So the short duration feels longer. Picture eighth notes at a quarter note equals some really slow tempo, like quarter note equals 60. 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and. Very slow tempo, but the duration, the eighth notes themselves, they're kind of quick. But if we picture quarter notes at a faster tempo, like maybe 120, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, they theoretically, the rhythm itself is different because we went from eighth notes to quarter notes, but the tempo directly altered that because one was a lot slower and then one was a lot faster, so they felt as though the rhythm was the same. Now, timbre, we did talk about in our whole other magnum opus podcast in January, but just a quick review. Very important to composers, but also really important to think about as a player. Timbre is what composers use to pick different instruments for different sections. What do I mean by that? If you picture a violin playing this beautiful melody and you're like, you know what, it might sound better on a flute. So then a flute plays a beautiful melody, and then you think, you know what, actually, I really want this on French horn. And then the French horn plays it, and you realize, yes, that is the instrument that makes this melody sound the most gorgeous. Timbre is how we differentiate one instrument from another. And if you're really interested about why that is and how that works, you can go down the rabbit hole of the physics of music, and there's all these fun things called overtones, and there's a harmonic series, and all of this stuff that directly correlates how instruments are made. They're not just random. They're made to produce certain sounds. And fun fact for you, the alto saxophone, mathematically speaking, is the most similar to the human voice. It is the closest instrument created that can emulate the human voice. Whether you believe that is true or not, I leave that up to you. But if you were to analyze the sound waves, it would be the alto saxophone. Now, let's dive into texture and structure, our last two for today. Texture, as we talked about earlier, first of all, it's kind of what you think. If you picture texture, I'm thinking, if I touch sandpaper, wow, that's quite rough. Or if I stroke cotton, man, that is quite soft. You can have thick texture of a piece. You can have thin texture of a piece, and that is what you would imagine. A thin texture to a piece, there are few instruments playing. There's maybe very little duration changes. So it could be long whole notes. If you think about a scary movie, if you watch those, usually they use very thin texture. It kind of sets us on edge because we're either listening to very low notes or very high notes. And it's really easy to get us kind of on the edge of our seat, because if we're only listening to one end of that spectrum, super high notes or super low notes, we feel unbalanced because we're missing the rest. And so we feel unease. And then directly that correlates into the feeling that they want us to have during horror movies. Thick texture is the exact opposite. You can picture a Beethoven symphony where 98% of the orchestra is playing at any given time. Violins have ferocious 16th notes that skyrocket up, and then the basses are playing, and then you have timpani strikes. Every instrument is playing at the same time, and there's a lot going on. You have melody and harmony and counterharmony and counterpoint and all these amazing fluid lines that makes the music could be rather confusing, but also very, very interesting to listen to. Now, texture, if that's still confusing to you, it's a little bit, we don't usually talk about that in school. If it's still confusing, I want you guys to listen to a full symphony orchestra. In fact, we do that at our Magnum Opus podcast when I talk about Beethoven. I kind of break down his fifth symphony and his ninth symphony. So you can check out texture there. Lastly, let's look at structure. The structure of a piece, you can think of it as its Lego building blocks. And while all of the six ones that we already talked about go into the piece of music, when you are composing a piece of music, the structure of the piece kind of symbolizes how different each section will be. So let's break it down even further. Whenever you start a piece of music, we can call that section A. It's where your melody kicks in, it's where you hear a little bit of harmony maybe, and it's where you introduce the instruments that will be playing for you. Very nice, very lovely. When we turn the page, we can get to section B. This is a new spot. We no longer hear the original melody. Maybe the instruments that were playing harmony have now taken over, and we hear something completely different. Hence why we label it letter B. We wouldn't just call it A again, because that would be the same letter. So this new page is a wonderful new deviance into what the composer really wants to try at you. It can be in a new key. It can be in a new time signature. He can vary anything that they want. Then on page 3, we've done our fun little ditty. We want to return to what we know, and we want to end the piece. So the original melody comes back. Maybe it's with the same instrument. Maybe it's with a different instrument. We call this section A again. So the structure of that piece would be A, B, A. Following me so far? That takes us through the opening part of the piece where the melody is established. Then we have the B section where something wild happens, like a key change. And then, like a breath of fresh air, the A section returns and the piece is able to end with its original melody, and it can end with everything tied up in a neat little bow, if that's how you like to think of it. If structure is still confusing to you, take a look at some popular songs like Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. Or if you don't like that one, how about Ba Ba Black Sheep? And if you don't like that one, I suppose that you could do the ABCs. And if you don't like that one, you're out of luck. Sing to yourself one of those three rhymes. I want you to try to see if you can, that A section right at the beginning, how long does that last? See if it ever comes back, and see if you can figure out where a B section is. Okay, that's enough homework. I'm not a school teacher. So thank you everybody for joining me. Once again, this was my 7 elements of music. You can think of them as 8, you can think of them as 6, you can think of them however you wish. But we talked about pitch, duration, dynamics, tempo, timbre, texture and structure. Lots of advanced music lessons for you. Thank you, everybody, for joining in, and I will see you next time. Thanks, everybody.